Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. Third Sunday of Advent, third week of Advent, the last of our full weeks of Advent we have now embarked upon. Again, and a week of rejoicing. Again, this the third candle on the Advent wreath, the pink candle is lit this week, beginning this weekend. Again, it's not the last candle lit. Again, so many times, again, people don't understand. This is why this Advent wreath is a domestic tradition. It is not a tradition to be put into the church, but we don't know what else to do because we don't want to not have something that looks a little bit forward to Christmas and we don't want it to be Lent, and yet it becomes too much Lent anyway in Advent and all kinds of, you know, excuses and reasons why it's there. But pink candle, third Sunday of Advent, make sure that you do that then. And then we'll go back to purple for the fourth Sunday of Advent. This is not a Sunday in which, again, we are grateful that Advent is almost over and we're going to get to Christmas soon because Advent has been such a dire, dreary season. Because it's not supposed to be. This is a season of joyful expectation, period. It is not supposed to be a season of penance, not supposed to be a season to, you know, correct all our faults and failings because Jesus may come again and may be angry with us with what he sees. God sees everything and God knows who we are. And the reality is what Advent has been trying to tell us up to this point and all through the season is that whether or not we are ready, prepared, meriting, deserving, worked for it, whatever it is, Christ comes. Christ comes because Christ comes on Christ's own terms and not on ours. Christ comes not with something that we expect Christ to be and do, but with what Christ understands the mission to be, what God understands Christ's mission to be. And that constantly, you know, is reinforced throughout all the season of Advent. Stop trying to predict God. Stop trying to preempt God. Stop trying to defend God, to stand in for God, to make, you know, all these things that God is should be on our own terms, because that is not how God operates. And again, the whole Advent Christmas cycle reveals that to us. You know, the one who is Messiah, who is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, you know, the one who is the Savior comes as a crying, pooping baby, period. Who is in need of a mother and a father, who is very vulnerable, who cannot, you know, take care of himself after he is born. He needs others to help him along the way. Which is a wonderful, humbling, extraordinary, marvelous, mysterious, fantastic understanding of what this God does and what this God becomes for us so that we might wake up, as the prophets keep telling us again and again and again, to the truth and reality, not only of who God is in our midst, but who we are before God, how we have been created by God, what we must be in this world to represent God in this world. And so on this Sunday in which this word rejoice appears so many times in all of the scriptures, we are asked once more to move deeper into understanding what this means. It will be this week, yes, that we end the first preface of Advent at the Eucharistic liturgy, the preface that looks forward to Christ's second coming, the preface that states, according to John Duns Scotus, that Christ's first coming was according to a plan that God formed long ago. And now basically we move from that on the 17th of December, on Wednesday of this coming week, to begin now to remember how Christ first came in Bethlehem. 1 week is only given to that. The rest of Advent, from when it begins until that 16th day of December, is given to us looking forward to Christ's return and what that means for us. Not a little baby being born in Bethlehem, but the redemption of all, the salvation of all, the putting right what has fallen apart, and for God to represent, or God to help us recognize what it is that we are supposed to be, what God planned from the beginning of time, we will begin to see and embrace, not in destruction and annihilation, not in a burning way, not in any kind of disaster or turmoil or whatever it is, but in something, again, as that first Sunday of Advent has told us this year, to look up, to stand up tall, to embrace and to await, because it is what we deserve. It is what God desires for us. And so, again, Isaiah today, in this first reading, basically says, you know, to us to rejoice. Again, to recognize that our God comes to save us, a God who wants to come to save us, a God who wants to do this good for us, not with us begging about it for it, not us crying about it, not us wanting to do penance after penance to somehow deserve it. but a God basically who makes the first move, a God who makes the first initiative, a God who wants to be a part of our lives, who must be a part of our lives. Because if God is not that, then God is not worthy of us, nor are we worthy of God. This God who wants to share in our life, to make us see the more that we can't see ourselves, because we are too frightened, too ignorant, too stupid, too whatever it is, to see that wonder and beauty about us. Second reading, again, coming from James, basically tells us to be patient, to be patient to wait for God's coming, because it still will come. We will not perhaps see it right away. We will not perhaps see it immediately, but it's because of patience that we're able to recognize the fact of where God is coming in our lives, where God is coming into our world, where God is helping us to see, again, what must be seen and to embrace what must be embraced about us as human beings. If we want this immediately, if we want this right now, it isn't going to happen. And perhaps for Western civilization, it is the most difficult thing to do because we want things right away. We want things today. We want things within a second. And many things within the society that we have created in our technological world offer that to us. But again, that is not the way God operates. We have to remember that and come to terms with it. Be patient, because God is coming and God is doing work. And with that patience, we are allowed to have a wisdom to allow us to see where that is incrementally happening in our lives. And then again, we go back to Matthew's gospel, where we are now further on in chapter 11 of Matthew's gospel now. A grown Jesus, having been born, doing his ministry, John in prison sends his disciples to ask of Jesus, "Are you the one whose coming was foretold, or should we look for another?" Now, again, this is Jesus' cousin, supposedly. This is all these kinds of things. Again, there is no annunciation in Matthew's gospel. There is no visitation in Matthew's gospel. That is all Luke. So in Matthew's gospel, John is asking Jesus, "Who are you?" As if, he doesn't know who he is. And basically Jesus says, go back and tell John, the dead are raised, the blind see, the deaf hear, the mute have their mouths open. There is joy and wonder happening all over the world, that this is the evidence that Jesus is the one whose promise was foretold, whose coming was foretold. And then Jesus goes on with this wonderful send-up about John the Baptist. But then again, he cuts it to say, even the least born in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Again, there is room always for us to be the people that God needs us to be in this world, to continue to be people who point out Christ, who search for Christ, who demand that Christ be revealed, who ask the powerful question, "Are you the one that we are waiting for, or should we look for somebody else? Show us that you are the one." Again, that is not offensive. That is not showing we do not have faith. That is not showing that we are bad in any way, shape, or form. But to be like the Baptist and say, "God, we need you to be God. We need you to remember your promises as we remember your promises." Because it's only in that mature remembering does glory happen, does wonder unfold, does the wonder and beauty and the mystery of our lives as believers unfold. And once again, a future is given to us. A destiny is laid out for us that can never be taken away because it's given to us from the hand of God. A continued blessed Easter season from Franciscan Media, and the Lord, as always, give you his peace.